This is the Slaw Sports Show on Anchor.fm, with weekly episodes highlighting and breaking down the biggest stories across sports. Make sure to keep up with the latest episodes and breaking news on Twitter by following at Slaw Sports Show, and keep up to date with the latest breaking news around the NFL. The official site of the show, knoble87.wixsite.com/slawsportsreport. And now, here's your host, Cole Noble.
What is going on, everyone? Welcome to the Slaw Sports Show. I'm your host, Cole Noble, aka Slaw, as always, here for another prospect positional breakdown for the 2022 NFL Draft. And we're finally on the defensive side of the ball today, talking about the defensive line class, the edge rushers, and also adding in two defensive tackles that we think will be first round prospects in this year's draft, which is 8 days away, almost a full week away from the start of the NFL draft. So we will be joined again this week by Matt Laguza to break down the defensive line class for this year's draft. But also, real quick, this morning, big news coming out of San Francisco with Deebo Samuel officially requesting a trade from the San Francisco 49ers. The Niners are in the middle of talks right now of wanting a king's ransom in exchange for Deebo, not wanting to trade him from the 49ers. But we're going to bring in our resident Jets fan and Matt Laguza to talk about this real quick before we talk about these draft prospects. So Matt, is Deebo going to be a Jet when it's all said and done by the time we get to the draft next week?
I would love Deebo to be a New York Jet by the time the draft comes, but the 49ers, they're going to ask for a king's ransom. They do not want him to go. They know this is just contract negotiations, and he's upset that this he's just upset that he's not getting a contract. I think over time, possibly their price will come down, but I highly doubt it'll happen by draft time. That it would be huge. The Jets would probably have to give up two first-round picks, two second-round picks, and maybe some late-round picks to be able to get him. So I highly doubt he's traded by that time. I think he ends up being a 49er by the start of next season, but I would love Deebo to come to New York.
Yeah, it's going to be one definitely to watch. You know, other two names to keep an eye out still at wide receiver is DK Metcalf and A.J. Brown having contract disputes. This whole Deebo situation reminds me a lot of, you know, the Devontae Adams situation from earlier in the offseason where, you know, the 49ers want to get something done. I think it just is more of Deebo just saying he's done with the 49ers. He's not wanting to come in and, you know, even talk about contract negotiations with the team right now. So it'll be interesting to see how this one plays out in the next week or so leading up to the draft, because, I mean, the Jets, two first-round picks, the Packers, two first-round picks, you know, if they're willing to trade in the NFC. Eagles have two first-round picks. Saints have two first-round picks. A lot of capital could be moved in terms of getting a guy as, you know, a big of a star as Deebo is in the National Football League. But, Matt, let's talk about draft, specifically moving on from the Deebo conversation that we just had to hit on real quick because it was the breaking news. But today, the defensive line class, and you said that this is the episode you've been most excited about because these are the guys that are going to go in the top of the draft this year, including maybe, you know, three, maybe four in the top four picks of this year's draft. But, you know, especially it seems like at least one and two could be defensive lines in this year's class. So we're going to talk about the first guy on the list, and it's going to be the Heisman runner-up, Aiden Hutchinson from Michigan. This is the guy that many have claimed to be the number one pick in this year's class up until recently, when a guy that we're going to talk about next started getting into the fold as potentially being the number one pick. But Aiden Hutchinson, a guy who's just an absolute beast. I love his game. I love his tape and everything that I was able to watch and, you know, see about Aiden Hutchinson in this year's class. The guy's an ultra-productive edge rusher, perfect size, quickness, polish. He is the safest player in this year's draft if you look at it that way. You know you're getting from him. You know his floor and his ceiling, and you're going to be able to just plug him in right away and work with what he can do on your defensive line. A guy that, you know, has a wide variety of skills at the position. You know, he can do a dip and rip. He can, you know, do some hand swipes on some guys, bull rushes, swim moves, anything you want him to do on the edge, he can do it. And I really like him coming into this year's class.
No, I think Aiden Hutchinson is the most pro-ready player in this draft. And as you mentioned, I think the top five guys that we talk about today, are potentially top five picks in this draft. Everybody up from Aiden to George Karlaftis. I think all of them are extremely talented. It's an extremely deep class, and I'm excited to see where all of them go. But just talking about Aiden Hutchinson, there's a lot to like about him. He's strong, he's flexible, he's explosive, he's extremely tough. The one thing that I think that people are going to be concerned about is his arm length. And when I was watching tape, one thing that I saw is occasionally when he went inside, he got stuck and he was not able to get out of it. And that's something that a lot of scouts are going to be looking at when deciding whether he's worth a first or second overall pick. Especially the Jaguars, you're going to be looking at that. You can get an Evan Neal, you can get an Aiden Hutchinson. What do you think? Do you think it's worth going Aiden Hutchinson at that pick? Because for the past, what, 2-3 months, he's pretty much been the consensus first-round pick. But over the past couple weeks, Evan Neal has been getting into that conversation. So it'll be interesting to see how it goes. But I think out of all the players, Aiden Hutchinson is probably the most polished out of everybody in this draft.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the first word I have on Aiden Hutchinson on my scouting report is ultra productive, which yep. I mentioned earlier. But I mean, you look at the 2021, you know, college football playoff season that they just had for the Michigan Wolverines. Aiden Hutchinson was third in college football with 14 sacks, 62 tackles, 16 and a half tackles for a loss, two fumbles and 14 starts. I mean, coming back in 2021 and putting up that kind of season with those kind of stats is just really, it's ultra productive of what he did in 2021. It's a guy in the run game, you know, does what he needs to, can hold the point of attack, doesn't get pushed out of the play or anything that you want to keep an eye on in that regards of the game. Honestly, there's just not a lot to say about the guy. I mean, there's no knocks on him, you know, minuscule knocks on the guy, just really just pro ready. And if Jacksonville decides not to take him, one, he's going to immediately. I mean, the Detroit Lions yeah. are going to be running to the phone if they see that, you know, pick come in at one and it's not Aiden Hutchinson, because he is a perfect fit to stay in Michigan with the Detroit Lions. I just don't know if he will be available at two for the Detroit Lions.
I mean, when you're looking at Aiden, I mean, the one thing that I would say about him is he might have, I just don't see much development from here on out. I mean, when I look at him, I think, all right, this is what you're getting, and you're going to have to work with it. And the Jaguars are going to have to decide, is this what we want? Because he's dominant. He's been dominant at the college level. He's going to bring it on to the NFL, and he's going to be a dominant edge rusher. But you're not going to get much development out of him after you draft him. What you see is what you get. And they're just going to have to see, is that worth a first overall pick? We're going to have him for the next 5, 6, 7 years, whatever it is. Is that going to be worth it? And for me, I think he is, especially after re-signing Cam Robinson this offseason. I just think going out there and getting a dominant edge rusher is probably the move at number one. But it's going to be interesting to see which way they go, because they could easily protect their quarterback, Trevor Lawrence, with another offensive tackle, do whatever they can, move Cam Robinson to right tackle, move Evan Neal to right tackle, whatever it is. But it'll be interesting to see which way they go, because I feel like either one is a good chance of going number one. It really just depends how the Jaguars feel.
Yeah, you brought up like the, you know, the ceiling situation with Aiden Hutchinson of, you know, how much more does he actually have to grow? Yeah. And I mean, we talked about that last week on another prospect on the offensive line class, where that's a good and a bad thing, because you know you're getting, but also what you're getting is what you're getting out of him. Going in to his rookie season. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what they can work with Aiden Hutchinson. Because, I mean, the guy's a grinder in the weight room. That's, you know, one of his legendary traits at Michigan that a lot of people loved about him, and, you know, a lot of people love about his tape. And looking at him is, you know, how much of a grinder he is, very aggressive in the weight room, and, you know, making sure he can get back on track. And consistently get better day in and day out. So that one will be the big thing with him. You know, what is his ceiling, and has he already reached that point as a prospect going into the class this year?
Yeah, no. It'll be interesting to see what happens. Like, I remember when we talked about this on 101 Sports, we were going over who's going to be the number one overall pick in this draft. You chose Aiden, I chose Kayvon. Obviously, you were right in the end. But, I mean, it's interesting how it didn't end up how most people thought. Everybody thought it was going to be Kayvon or Aiden. Kayvon kind of dropped off. Aiden stayed there. And that's just how it happened. But no, Aiden is no question. I think he's the number one prospect in this draft. I think he's the most pro-ready out of everybody here. It's all going to depend on what Jacksonville thinks is their biggest priority and which is going to help their team the most. But no, there's no question Aiden Hutchinson is pro-ready, one of the best players that we've seen at the edge rusher position since, I don't know, Myles Garrett, maybe? Something like that. It's the first guy in a while.
Yeah, I definitely think that's fair to say for sure about him. But we're going to move on to the guy I have second on the list, and it's the guy right here behind my head, and not Aiden Hutchinson. Kayvon Thibodeau, you just brought up, but it's going to be Trayvon Walker. I have him as my number two edge rusher now. I moved him recently up my board as being the number two guy at the position. And honestly, there's some tea leaves out there, if you can read them the right way, that say Trayvon Walker has the potential of being the number one pick in this year's class. I mean, there's a lot to like about him, and everybody in Jacksonville, including Trent Baalke, their general manager, loves the fact that he has the ceiling that Aiden Hutchinson doesn't have, and potentially they think if they groom him the right way, he could be better in terms of how versatile he is. He's got exceptional length, just an overall tremendous athlete at the position, and they love him coming out of Georgia, an ultra-explosive guy, and I mean, it could be the thing where I was reading, some things on Twitter this morning where, Trent Baalke could be stubborn enough to take Trayvon Walker over Aiden Hutchinson just because he has a spite against Jim Harbaugh out of Michigan, which honestly would be insane to go with your first overall pick in the draft just out of spite of a college coach. But we've seen crazier things happen in the National Football League. So Trayvon Walker, our guy for number two, who potentially could squeak in here and might be a good, safe bet to make if you want to make some money with the number one overall pick in this year's draft.
I mean, they talked about in Good Morning Football the other day how Trent Baalke has a history of going with the physical guy over the sure thing, so to say. And the sure thing right now is Aiden Hutchinson or Evan Neal. The physical guy is Trayvon Walker. And everybody's talked about for the past season how good Georgia's defense is, but we've been waiting to see who is going to be that guy that sticks out from what it is. And ever since the combine, Trayvon Walker has been that guy. He had a great combine. He has just popped off on draft boards the last couple weeks, last couple months, whatever it is. He's long. He's powerful. He's got violent hands. He is an amazing prospect, a guy that has come out from under the rocks a little bit, come up, snuck up on some guys. He could easily be the first overall pick in this year's draft. And that's one of the guys that people wouldn't really think of. 2 months ago, it was Aiden Hutchinson, Kayvon Thibodeau, maybe George Karlaftis. Jermaine Johnson came into the conversation around the Senior Bowl time. Here comes Trayvon Walker. He might not be a top five pick. He could be the number one overall pick. I love the process of the draft and how just some guy just comes in there, takes the spotlight, and really makes the most of the situation. And Trayvon Walker has done that right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think my first mock draft, back in late January, early February, I don't even know if I had Trayvon mocked in the first round. And now looking forward to my 3.0, I might potentially put Trayvon Walker as the number one pick, slating him to the Jacksonville Jaguars. But, I mean, if they want to go with the shiny guy, if they want to go with the explosive, who's going to be the dominant player that you're going to take with the first pick in this year's draft, it's Trayvon Walker. I mean, he is the more dominant player at this position in this year's class. He is the aggressor out of this group and the one with the most ceiling, to where you're going to try to get the most out of him that you can once he's on your team, to where you're going to question it. If you're in the draft, in the draft room, in the war room of the Jacksonville Jaguars, you're going to be questioning these things. And it's the same thing they're talking about right now, is debating these two players, Aiden Hutchinson and Trayvon Walker, which ones they're going to like. And I can see either one getting picked first overall, you know, just over a week from now.
I mean, you're talking about Aiden Hutchinson and Trayvon Walker. You're not even talking about Evan Neal yet. I watched that playoff game a couple times between Georgia and Alabama. And one thing that I realized is Trayvon Walker, he struggled with Evan Neal. And that's something that the Jaguars could look at it later on in this process. They're getting, we're a week away from the draft right now. We're getting there. Week in one day, whatever it is. But we're getting there. And those little things, that one game that Georgia played against Alabama in the playoff where Trayvon struggled, that could be the difference between him going one and him going 10. Like, there's a big that one game can decide his entire fate in this first round. It could be a big thing. He's had a great last couple weeks. He's had a great showing both at his pro day and at the combine. And he's definitely has the potential to be the first overall pick in this year's draft.
Yeah, I mean, if he doesn't go one, I mean, this just goes back to the wildness of this year's class. If Trayvon Walker doesn't go one, I don't think he's going two. I don't think he's going three. He might have a shot at four to the Jets, but that's saying they value him more than any other offensive lineman that could be available. So then you're, you know, looking at a run of offensive lineman, maybe throwing a wide receiver in the mix, you know, in the, you know, 7 to 8 range. You throw in Sauce Gardner at corner. You're looking at this guy, you know, barely cracking the top 10 if he's not going number one, which is absolutely absurd of a projection, trying to, you know, think about where this guy could go, because I could see him going to the Jacksonville Jaguars easily, or I can see him going to the Seattle Seahawks at 9 just as easily, which I had mocked in my 2.0.
That would be a great pick right there.
Yeah, so this guy could easily either go one or fall and, you know, barely crack the top 10, which is just insane of, you know, how this process has gone this year. I've never seen a draft class like this where we're almost a week away from the draft and still no one knows what's going to happen with any pick in this year's class.
Now, that's what's so exciting about it. We love this as analysts, just going into it, and we're just sitting here trying to write our mock drafts the week before the draft. I'm going to be sitting here on Wednesday next week, one day before the draft, writing my final mock draft, getting ready to post it, and saying, I'm not sure about this. Like, last year, you know, obviously, we weren't going to get anything crazy, but I was like, I'm confident in this. I don't know if I'm going to be confident in my final mock draft this year. Like, anything can happen. My picks could be completely wrong. My picks could be completely right. Anything can happen in this year's draft, and that's what makes it so exciting and interesting.
Yeah, and for the number one pick, it's going to come down to one of these two guys, and depending on who goes one and who ends up falling, this next guy would come off the board just as quickly, and it's the other guy on the opposite side of the board behind me, and it's the pass rusher out of Oregon, Kayvon Thibodeau. And this was a guy that, you know, you looked early back in this process, you know, late into the process of last year's draft when we started looking ahead to this year. Kayvon Thibodeau looked like the guy of this year's class, and you mentioned it, you know, back, you know, months back on our episode on one-on-one, seems like forever ago, where we debated Aiden Hutchinson and Kayvon Thibodeau. You made a strong argument for Thibodeau being the number one overall pick in this year's class. But now we look at it with Kayvon Thibodeau. He's now a, you know, maybe top five, easy top 10, but not really a lock anywhere in terms of, you know, a top, you know, three or first overall pick in general, and mainly due to his character. And trying to get all that situation figured out, his heart, is his heart in the game, that kind of thing. So it's really knocking him right now. But at the end of the day, a tremendous explosive pass rusher off the line of scrimmage and against the run is great as well. And overall, it's just that flexibility and heart you have to consider that's really been knocking Kayvon Thibodeau down some boards lately.
See, I'm going to stick by what I said in that one-on-one episode and say that Kayvon Thibodeau could still be end up being the top edge rusher in this class by the end of his career. But that is only because I think he has the highest ceiling. And, you know, we talked about this, how he has what it takes. He just doesn't have the technique. He doesn't have the cleanness, whatever you want to say. Whatever it is, he has what it takes. He just hasn't refined it yet. And I think if he can do that at the NFL level, he can be a 15, 16 sack guy at the end of it all. He will be up there, but he just needs to be given the chance. And I think he's probably going to be fall between 3 and 5. I think he either goes to the Texans, the Jets, or the Giants. I don't think he falls past that. I think any of them will be excited to have them. He's an exciting prospect. He's long, he's strong, explosive. Yes, he has some character issues that people have been talking about over the past couple weeks, but I think once he gets into this situation, hopefully he overcomes that. But he's exciting to watch. If he gets into the right situation, I think he could be an amazing player at the end of the day.
Yeah, I really like him as a fit and as a bet in general, looking at the odds right now of going number two to the Detroit Lions. I think if anyone can get the most out of him and get him back into a football mindset, it's got to be Dan Campbell. I mean, watching how that guy can fire up his team, if he gets Kayvon Thibodeau in there for training camp and just absolutely juice him up going into his rookie year, he'll be able to get the most out of him as a prospect. And again, we always pull it up every week, but the Lance Zierlein scouting report, the favorite thing I love is the sources tell us at the bottom. And for Kayvon Thibodeau, a personnel director for the NFC, for an NFC team, said he's not fluid like Jadeveon Clowney, but he has the same type of upside coming out. He's going to get better as a rusher, but he might top out at 10 or 11 sacks. I don't see him as a dude in that area. I really like that quote. I do see that upside, but you know, coming into it as it stands right now, don't really necessarily think he can be a dude on day one, but I do think he has the potential to get there at some point in his career. It's just you got to get the most out of him. You got to get him back into that football mindset, and you know, let the intangibles do their thing of what he can do as a pass rusher after that.
I think that's the big thing. He just needs the right instruction, and that's what's going to happen. I think the Jets, the Lions, and probably the Texans are the best options for him in that top five. I think Rob Saleh, Dan Campbell, I think those guys will get the most out of him with their defensive mindset. I think if he falls past that, it'll be interesting to see where he goes. But I think if he can get a really good defensive coach that can help him with his technique, because that's his big thing. He has the instincts. He has the ability to do what is necessary. He just doesn't have the technique. He doesn't have the teaching. He doesn't have that yet. And that's going to be the big thing coming into the NFL, because that's what's going to differentiate him from the rest of the players. If he can be able to refine his technique, he could be the best pass rusher in the NFL. I don't think there's any question about that. He has the ability to be that guy. He might not end up that way, but he has the potential. And if he can get the right teaching, I think he can get there. But in the end, when you look at this process as a whole, from the start to the end, right now it's looking like he's going to be a 10 to 13 sack guy. And he's pretty much going to end up like a Jadeveon Clowney, but a little better, hopefully.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, I talked about, you know, the fit with Detroit. You talked about a potential fit with the Jets. I also like him going to New York at, you know, maybe one of their two picks. But I was seeing a little bit of stuff today on Twitter about maybe they're not as high on him as you would think they are in New York with the Giants. But, you know, at 5 or 7, that could be an option. Thibodeau starts to slide, a guy that they can plug in with the guy they took last year, Azeez Ojulari, on that defensive line, really shore up that edge positions on both sides with two young, promising guys that, you know, they think they can get the most out of. But Thibodeau, he's exciting. If he can be used the right way and get him on the right mind track, I'm excited to see what they can do with him. But we're going to move on to the next guy. We're going to go to another guy, this guy from Florida State, formerly from Georgia. He was part of that, you know, big defensive line that they had, and deep and with talent. And it's Jermaine Johnson out of Florida State, and a guy that transferred from Georgia because he was playing with some freaks on that defensive line. We saw what those freaks did this past season in that national championship winning season for Georgia. He was smart to get out of there, find himself a home in Florida State, and make sure that he could be as productive as he needed to be going into the NFL draft. So Jermaine Johnson, 6'5", 262, has great quick get-off speed. But in the run, still a couple things he needs to do a little bit more consistently. And overall, I mean, the coaches and scouts at the Senior Bowl absolutely raved about this guy, and he put up some good numbers at the combine as well. So I like what we can get out of Jermaine Johnson with, I mean, a 4.58 speed. This guy's got some good speed coming off the edge for his size.
No, I love Lance Erline's comparison to Max Crosby. I think that is the perfect comparison for him. He's big, he's strong, he's quick. He's got everything that you need an edge rusher. Now, is he at the same level as a Kayvon Thibodeau, as a Trayvon Walker, as an Aiden Hutchinson? No, I don't think he's at that level, but I think he could be a sneaky late top 10, early teens kind of guy. I think it depends on who's available, what teams are thinking at that position in the draft process. But Jermaine Johnson, I think, 2 months ago, he was in the 20s for me. When I post my last mock draft, he's probably maximum in the middle teens. I don't think he makes it past that point. I think this edge rusher class is extremely stacked, and as the Aiden Hutchinson, Trayvon Walker, Kayvon Thibodeau get off the board, I think the guys like Jermaine Johnson, George Karlaftis, those guys start going a little earlier than you would predict. Jermaine Johnson, I think, is going to be the first of those guys to go. I'm excited for him. He's broad. He's thick. He's strong. He's what you want in edge rusher, and I think he's going to be that next guy up when teams are thinking between picks 8 and 15, 16, somewhere around there. He's an exciting prospect to watch, and I'm excited to see where he goes.
Yeah, I'd agree. I think his ceiling in the draft is going to be at 8 to the Atlanta Falcons. I think if they want to go a defensive route, get a promising guy on the edge to help out that atrocious defensive roster they currently have right now, and just atrocious roster as a whole, why not go with an ascending star in Jermaine Johnson? This guy is what I really want to see how his ceiling plays out in terms of a prospect coming into the league. I mean, he only had 1 year of being a full-time starter in college, and you know just how underdeveloped he is, and yet how productive he was last season at Florida State. You know you're going to get a lot out of him by making him bigger and making him better as a pass rusher. Just getting more instinctive, more consistent in the run game as well. Could be a lot more things you can add into his game. But, you know, he's got the strength, the athleticism, sets really firm edges on the edge of the line, and a playmaker at the line of scrimmage, rushing the passer and in the run game. So a bright future for this guy. And I'd like to see him end up in a good situation. I think my 2.0 mock draft, I had him falling to the Arizona Cardinals. I'm going to change that next time. I think a lot of people are getting more high on him. And like you said, he's easily going to end up somewhere in the teens.
You know, I think he has a very, not the same skill level, but very similar to Kayvon Thibodeau, where his thing is he just needs some technique boosters at the NFL level. He's had some issues with his hand where they're violent, just not skilled as some of the other edge rushers in this class. And I think with some refining in the off season towards the start of the season, he could get to a very good point, and he could end up being a very prominent pass rusher by the next season. He could be like an Azeez Ojulari, where he gets 8 to 12 sacks in his rookie season. If he's put into the right situation, if he has the right coaching staff, if he can get into that point where he is used correctly, I think he can be that guy. So I'm excited to see where he ends up. And Atlanta Falcons would be an interesting place if they end up going with that defensive route. But no, I'm excited. He's one of my favorite edge rushers going into this class. And I'm excited to see what he can do.
Yeah, and I mean, just coming out of Georgia, a tough defensive situation where he was put in a rotation with a lot of good guys. And I like the decision transferring out, going to Florida State, making a name for himself last year. ACC Defensive Player of the Year and first team All-Conference honors, tied eighth nationally with 18 tackles for a loss among 12 sacks. I mean, the guy was ultra productive, and everyone saw that coming once he made his way out of Georgia, because they knew what he can be when given the time to shine. And that same thing goes for him coming into the NFL, getting on a team that's really going to master these traits that he showed that he can have this past season and really refine some of those traits, making it more consistent on a day-to-day basis for him will go a long way toward his potential. We're going to switch to the next guy out of Purdue, another one who I am actually more infatuated with in terms of these, you know, second group of edge rushers in this year's class, and it's George Karlaftis. This is a guy I, like I said, really like a lot. I think he has amazing size at 6'5", 266, a little bit heftier than Jermaine Johnson, but overall, his instincts and power off the edge popped off like crazy on the tape. His best weapon was, you know, the speed to power that he could produce exploding up the field and, you know, into the pocket. I really liked about this guy, never quit on any play, which I really loved. That's something I look for in every prospect at any position, is not being able to quit on a play, running down, you know, wide receivers, tight ends, running backs on the other side of the field going down the sideline. This guy just hauls tail after him, never quits on a play. And I really like George Karlaftis out of Purdue.
George Karlaftis has been one of the most overlooked players in this draft. I mean, if you think about it, early on in November, December, he was no doubt the number three edge rusher in this class. And everybody was talking about him. He's going to be a top 10 pick, maybe top 12 at the least. Now, I don't really know what's going to happen with him. Like, again, I love him. I think he's a great player. He's pro ready. He plays the game. He's physical. He's tall. He's big. He's got everything that you look for in an edge rusher. He just really hasn't gotten the momentum that he had hoped for from scouts. He hasn't gotten the just media attention that I would have thought he would have gotten. He's quick. He's strong. He's got good length with his arms. I think he could still be a top 10 pick in this draft. I mean, he has the talent for that. But right now, he'd be lucky to be a top 20 pick based on what's going on right now. So it'll be interesting. I think he'd go anywhere from the top 10 until the early 20s. He's got a wide range of where he can go in this draft. But I think he's a great player. He's pro ready. And I think any team would really be lucky. If he goes after 15, that will be a steal for a lot of the teams.
Yeah, my dream scenario in the first round is for somehow to him to end up at 22 to the Green Bay Packers. I mean, their new outside linebacker coach stressed, talking to the media last week, of how he wants to add another player to the rotation for the Green Bay Packers on that defensive line with Preston Smith and Rashawn Gary. He said he wants four legit guys at edge rusher for his team to be able to rotate in and out. And I think Karlaftis would be a great pick. I mean, it's similar to, you know, how Rashawn Gary was coming out, with a guy where you're like, okay, yeah, it's a good pick. You know, he's got great athleticism and great upside in him, but it's going to take, you know, a year or two until he gets fully under the belt and ready to go as, you know, a starting pass rusher, you know, all three snaps on defense, and, you know, being able to sustain a full drive on defense, staying on the field. But I think in Green Bay, being part of a rotating type of defensive line that they want to run now going into next year will be a great fit for him. If somehow he could just slide to us at 22, would be a great pick. Because this guy, like I said, it's the relentless motor that Lance certainly noted here. Good power, being able to keep up with the heat of offensive counterparts throughout the entire game. A lot to like out of George Karlaftis this season.
No, I've had Karlaftis with the Eagles for the longest time. I think that has been a great move. But if he were to somehow sneak past Philadelphia, I think the Packers would be a great place for him. You think about it, they just lost Darius Smith, and they really don't have a top edge rusher in that room anymore. So, as you said, they're going to have to rotate, and I think George Karlaftis would be a good guy. That'd be a great place for him to develop into what could become the top edge rusher in this class. I mean, as I mentioned, I think from Aiden to George Karlaftis, the players that we've talked about, all of them are potentially top five draft picks in this class. Now, they're not all going to go there. George Karlaftis, Jermaine Johnson, they're not going to end up in the top five. But in a lot of years, they could end up being that kind of level player. And I think if they're put into the right situations, like a Green Bay Packers situation, they have the chance to develop into great players, all-pro players, Pro Bowl players, whatever it is. But no, George Karlaps is a great player, has plenty of potential, and if he's put in the right situation, he can be something special.
Yeah, and I had, I think both times in my first two mock drafts, I had the fit with the Eagles, you know, back then with three first-round picks. But I still think that likely could be the case now with two in the first round, where I think the Eagles could try to make a move for him, just adding a young, promising prospect that, you know, they'd have to build around for a year until they get him fully ready to go on that defensive line. But, I mean, at 15 and 18 for the Eagles is two potential landing spots to consider. For George Karlaftis, and I just hope and pray that they go with a different route at those two picks. I think after that, you know, after 18, you got New Orleans, Pittsburgh, New England, and the Packers. I don't think any of those teams potentially go with a developmental type of edge rusher. So a good shot. He makes it to my Green Bay Packers at 22. We'll see what happens with George Karlaftis. But, Matt, we got one more edge rusher to talk about. Before we get to the big boys in the middle, the real run stoppers on the defensive tackle position. But first up, we have our last edge rusher, and Arnold Ebikiti out of Penn State. I think I said that right. I've been struggling with that one all day. Ebikiti out of Penn State, another guy we have to talk about here as being a potential first-round pick, and one I might have slid in there as of late on my board. But this guy is a scary pass rusher off the edge, great flexibility, precise hand usage, a lot to like about him in terms of improving in the strength department, raising his floor a little bit. All the traits are there right now to be a potential NFL star this going into his rookie season.
No, Ebikiti, he's been a guy that has kind of come up recently in draft boards. He's really built himself up there. He's come up. Another Penn State edge rusher that has made his name in this process. And he's a little leaner than the other guys. And that's something to look at. He's got to kind of stay away from the inside. He's really got to be quick. He's got to get to the outside and pull around. He can't really bulldoze through anybody. And that's going to be something that people are going to look at in this class. But no, as you said, he's got great hands. He's a skilled rusher. He's efficient. He's a great edge rusher. I think he's going to be late in the first round if he goes in the first round, somewhere between, 22 and the end of the first round, maybe in the early second round. I don't see him getting past that. But no, he's a 3-4 rush linebacker. That's what he's going to end up being. And he's an exciting prospect. I just don't see him as exciting as the first five guys that we talked about. But no, I mean, he's nothing special, but he has the potential to be a very good player.
Yeah, I mean, he's definitely a guy I think is going to, if anything, squeak in the back end of the first round. I like maybe Tampa Bay potentially being an option with their pick, or even Kansas City with two of their picks at 29 and 30 being a spot for Arnold. Definitely a guy where, you know, he's got some good things going for him. And coming out, an interesting fact I do have, coming out of Cameroon, the same hometown as Joel Embiid, who's trying to make some noise right now in the NBA playoffs. So give a little basketball talk here on the Slaw Sports Show. Look at us big basketball guys. But still, Arnold Ebikiti, another one to potentially slide in. Like you said, 3-4 rush linebacker. Probably going to be his best landing spot. So either a Kansas City Chief or Tampa Bay Buccaneer running that 3-4 linebacker defense that they have. Todd Bowles might really like this guy now that he's calling the shots in Tampa Bay. They need some, you know, huge depth on that defensive line. Might end up losing Jason Pierre-Paul after next year. So go ahead and get a guy now in the first round that you can put in place. Could be a big thing for Tampa Bay and, you know, Chiefs same way. Adding some talent on that defensive line go a long way to what they're building on that defense.
I mean, yeah, he's going to be a late-round pick, and if he turns out to what people think he can be, that's going to be huge. If he can turn into an 8 to 12 sack guy next season as a rookie, that'll be huge for the Buccaneers, the Chiefs, or whoever end up drafting him. I think he's an exciting player. I think he has the potential to be, I think, mid-table when you look at it. I don't think he's going to be anything special. He's not going to be an 18-sack guy. I don't think he gets to that level. But if you get 10 sacks of him, I think you'll be very happy. Other than that, I really don't think there's much else to say about him. I think he could squeak into the first round just because of how stacked this edge rusher class is at the top. I think once you get past that top five, people are going to end up kind of scrambling and trying to get someone a little earlier than they might have gone for it. And I think Arnold will be that first guy that goes. But it'll be interesting. He could end up being a very good player, but I don't really see anything special about him.
Yeah, he's definitely not, you know, some of these premier guys we've talked about on the list, but definitely a guy where he's right at that bottom of that second group of guys in his edge rusher class where it really starts to fall off after him. I have high hopes for David Ojabo in the second round, but he's coming off that torn Achilles suffered really recently at the start of this process. So I hate it for David. He looked like he was going to be a real guy that have a shot in the first round out of Michigan as well. But that Achilles really put a damper on his potential landing spot and, you know, probably shook him back into the second round. So we won't talk about him, but we will start talking about two defensive tackles, both of which from Georgia. And the first one I'm going to bring up is the guy who I have no idea is not talked about more than he is. And that's Jordan Davis, a guy who is 6'6", 341, ran a 4.78 40-yard dash. This guy is faster than who was it? I mean, Patrick Mahomes. There's someone else. There was a big name at quarterback when he ran his 40 that they put him, put the graphics up of, the two tapes running side by side, and he dusted multiple quarterbacks from their combine days running the 40-yard dash. This guy is a behemoth and is an absolute mountainous defensive tackle. And Pat McAfee talks all the time. Every time Pat McAfee on his show brings in any type of draft analyst, whether it's Daniel Jeremiah, Ian Rappaport, Peter Schrager, he always says, how is this guy not the number one overall pick? And they have no answer for it. I mean, it's just how, the consensus is in the NFL and in the media right now. But this guy is huge, athletic, and is an absolute monster to add to your defensive line.
Well, I thought we were talking about the big boys last week. I thought that was the plan. This man is an absolute beast. He's huge. I love Lancer and Lance comparison to Haloti Ngata. I love that comparison. And I think NFL scouts and GMs, if you look at that, you're like, I kind of want myself one of those. He's huge. He's big. I love a New England Patriots pick there in that early 20s. I love that. I think if you can get a guy that runs a 4.78 at 3.41, I think you pick him up right away when you get there. I don't think he goes above 15. I just think there's so much talent at other positions that I don't think he gets above that. I think he's going to be somewhere between 18 and 25. I think that's probably where he lands. I think he has too much raw talent to be able to go any higher than 25. He's got too much raw talent. He's powerful. He's got flair. He's an amazing nose tackle.
Yeah, I mean, I have to disagree with you with your projection for me. I see this guy. I don't see him going past the Eagles. I might not even see him getting to one of the first two Eagles picks. I mean, I think Baltimore, a great fit for him at 14. Houston at 13. Why wouldn't you want to add him? I mean, they run that same type of Patriots mindset over there in Houston with Nick Caserio. I think they could fall in love with Jordan Davis just as easily. The Minnesota Vikings could. I think the Seattle Seahawks at 9 potentially could be an option for a Jordan Davis. So we're talking about maybe potentially being in the first round. I mean, how do you not look at this guy? If you bring him in for, one of your top 30 visits to your team, and this guy barely fits through the door when he walks in, how do you not look at him and not want to draft him in the first round? I don't understand it. This guy is just huge. And the tape, he plays just as big as he is. I mean, this guy is at his best against the rush, against the run is exactly like what we saw with Vince Wilfork, just being an absolute monster in that middle of the defensive line where you just plug him in right there. And that's what he is, a plug. Nothing is getting past him. He's just going to eat everything up in that middle of the line of scrimmage and just cause absolute mayhem where you're going straight at the quarterback's face and they have no idea what to do with the ball. Pair that up with some guys coming off the edge. I mean, another fit I like is the LA Chargers. I mean, you think about putting him in the middle of that line with Sebastian Joseph Day, and then on the edge, you got Joey Bosa on one side and Khalil Mack on the other. What are you going to do if you're a quarterback, any quarterback in the National Football League, with that front four coming at you? It's going to be absolutely insane. So I like Jordan Davis a lot in terms of being a prospect coming in. You might not be as high on him as I am. I love Jordan Davis just as big as he is going into this year's draft.
No, I love Jordan Davis. I think he's a menace. That's what he is. And he's going to break through any part of this, any center in the NFL, no matter what it is, any center, inner guard, whatever it is, he's going to get through them. I just think there is so much talent at the skill positions and offensive tackle and at wide receiver. Wide receiver especially. I think there are going to be a lot of guys, once that first guy goes, domino effect, just going to happen. I just don't think he gets into that top 15. And that's not because he's not a top 15 pick. I think he has a skill level for that. I just think the way the draft goes, the way the process goes, the way that these GMs are going to think, he's just not going to be people's top priority. They're going to want the guys that make the flashy difference. He's not going to make the flashy difference. He might make the run stop. He might be a big guy up front. He's just not going to be flashy. And I think that's where their mindset's going to be. And that's why I think he's going to fit in the 15 to 23 range. But I mean, man, he's one heck of a talent. And if I were the Jets, I'd be thinking of him in 10. I mean, damn, he'd be great to fit in that defensive tackle position right there. But no, I think any team would be lucky to have him at that point in the draft.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, you did bring up the good point. I mean, a run for receivers could happen that could push a guy like Jordan Davis down the board very quickly. And you know, that's something that might happen. You know, once, you know, maybe if, you know, what, say what happens if two wide receivers go in the top 10, then all of a sudden you're going to start looking at these other guys, like you're going to have to make a move for them, because there's guys in the teens that are really going to want these receivers. There's guys like the Chiefs that are really have the arsenal to move up and start wanting to get their guys. And then if you're in the 20s, back into the first round, you're put in a situation where you're probably going to miss out on one of your top guys that you want to add to your offense. So it's going to push a guy like Jordan Davis down the board very quickly. So I'm glad you brought up that point. Something I did want to bring into this, talking about Jordan Davis. I just don't understand how you look at this guy and not want him on your defensive line commanding that middle of your line of scrimmage. But we're going to bring up now the second guy out of Georgia at defensive tackle, the guy that played opposite or actually right beside Jordan Davis, and that's Devontae Wyatt, another guy who's getting a little bit of buzz, potentially squeaking into the first round. I've seen some a little bit of some stuff on Twitter linking him to the Packers, potentially at 28 late in the first round to pair with Kenny Clark. So he's another guy to obviously consider. I have him as my number two defensive tackle on the board. A stout guy, not as big as Jordan Davis by any means. While Jordan Davis is 6'6", 340. Devontae Wyatt's a lot more leaner, 6'3", 315. Got a lot more quickness, a lot more explosive of a pass rusher. Nice get off the line of scrimmage. Very dynamic, changing directions. So pretty much the opposite of Jordan Davis in terms of his size. He's a little bit on the smaller side and a lot more quicker. With a tremendous amount of upside he has. This is more of a guy looking at, you know, the good things of Aaron Donald, but to a lot lesser of an extent is what you get out of Devontae Wyatt.
I mean, two things. One, I love how 6'3", 315 is lean. That is beautiful. And two, we've talked about eight players today. Three of them were on Georgia's defensive line this year?
Technically four.
technically four if we're talking about Jermaine Johnson. Like, I mean, if you're looking at this, just look at Georgia's production of that defense. Just the defensive line is outstanding. But if we're talking about Devonta Wyatt, he is really good player, great lateral quickness. He's got above average change of direction. I mean, he's a great player. I think he could definitely be a first round pick, especially if Jordan Davis does go in that range that you're talking about. If he doesn't make it past 15, Devonta Wyatt's going to be that first defensive tackle that teams are thinking of for that second half of the first round. And he could easily go. I mean, if Jordan Davis goes before 15, before the Eagles pick, I mean, I could see him going before 20. I mean, if you're thinking about it, I mean, he is an extremely talented player. You see Trayvon Walker go off the board. You see Jermaine Johnson go off the board. You see Jordan Davis go off the board. You're thinking, I got to get myself one of these Georgia defensive linemen. If I'm a GM, that's what I'm thinking right now. If you're looking at that edge rusher position, at the defensive tackle position, I mean, Devonta Wyatt would probably be the top of my list at that point.
Yeah, definitely, for sure. I mean, I would love to see him try to start squeaking back in here, making a little bit more noise, landing in that first round. A guy who, let's see if I can get it back up here. There's one thing I want to say about him. Another guy who hustles around the field. That's the one thing I was trying to look about. I talked about George Karlaftis and that motor he has, relentless on the play, never gives up. A lot of the same traits are shared by Devonta Wyatt as well. Hustling around the field, never gives up, always looking for the ball carrier and trying to figure out a way he can bring him down. Just not quite as fast as an edge rusher in George Karlaftis, but he's still a guy where he's got the motor to keep going and the want to make a play on all three downs.
I mean, one thing that I want to look at is his arm length, very similar to Aiden Hutchinson. It's a little short at 32 5/8. On the inside, I don't think it's as important as it is for an edge rusher to try to use those hands to get around tackles, but it is something to look at, and I think teams will look at, because, I mean, it's important. Being able to push off and get around players is huge for those tackles. But he's a big man. He's quick. He's fast. He's strong. I think he'll be able to overcome that. But I don't think he gets out of the first round. I think he's too talented for that. And I think, based on what we've been talking about, other than Arnold Ebikite, everybody we've talked about, we pretty much predicted to go top 20.
Yeah.
I mean, if that's true, even if Devonta Wyatt doesn't go top 20, that means, based on our predictions, he's the number one guy going for the last 12 picks on the edge, on the defensive line.
Yeah.
So I really don't think he gets out of that first round. I think he's there. I think he's set for it. He's an amazing talent, and it'll be exciting to see what happens.
Yeah, and I do see a scenario in a world where he does potentially squeak into that second round, but even if he does, he's going within the top 3 to 4 picks of that second round. He's going to be quickly off the board on day two. If he's there, somebody's going to snatch him up and really love what he can do and add him there. First round, it's kind of difficult for me to try to place a team. Obviously I've been looking heavily at my Green Bay Packers, and I would love to see him added at 28 to go alongside Kenny Clark on that defensive line. But they just added in a defensive tackle already, and maybe there's a lot more of an upside guy that's available in the early second they want to reach for at 28. So it's gonna be weird to see where a fit could be for Devonta Wyatt, and I think that might push him out of the first round into the second, is trying to find a real fit for him that late in the first round.
Yeah. I mean, exciting player. I don't really think there's much else to say about him. But everybody we've talked about so far are easily first-round talents. I think it really just depends on the skill positions and, honestly, the quarterbacks. And we've talked about this. Quarterbacks are going to be huge in this draft. If 5 quarterbacks end up going in the first round, that changes a lot of the predictions that we've had in this process that we've gone through for offensive linemen, wide receivers, quarterbacks. Eventually we'll get to the linebackers and secondary. It'll be interesting. But we could easily see all eight of these guys getting into that first round.
Yeah, for sure. Well, that wraps up our defensive line breakdown. So, Matt, thank you again. We're going to have one more show between now and the start of next week to finalize these guys. We'll do linebackers and defensive backs. So I think we got two linebackers on tap. We need to potentially talk about the corner class and then potentially a couple safeties as well. I mean, for sure, Kyle Hamilton. But maybe even throw in another Georgia guy in there, or maybe Daxon Hill as well. Maybe we could throw in there
and
talk a little bit of some safeties potentially for next time. But Matt, appreciate you as always. We'll see you next time, hopefully back in the States when
Thank
we come
you
back
for having
and see
me,
you
man.
Again.
Getting back to the land of the free, home of the brave.
Yeah, well, I appreciate it, Matt. Have a good one. Thank you again, as always. All right, so thanks all everyone for watching. Just a little bit schedule update leading up to the draft. We just said that we're going to try to work something out between now and the start of next week, potentially maybe a weekend show, rejoining with Matt for another episode to finish up these prospect breakdowns. My schedule for Wednesday, I believe I'll be doing my mock draft day before the draft, 3.0 live on the show to really make my final projections leading up to the day of the draft. And then Thursday, full first round of the NFL draft. I'm excited for it. Hope you guys are as well. But as always, thank you all for listening. Thank you all for tuning in. If you missed any part of today's episode, you will find it on the podcast or posted shortly soon on YouTube as well. I'll make sure to get some clips out there as well to check it out a little bit easier instead of watching the full episode like we always do. And then, yeah, again, just the podcast, anywhere you get a podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, you'll find us at the Slaw Sports Show and be able to catch up on all these defensive line prospects. But that's all we have for this week, and that's all we have. That's all we have for today, maybe some more this week. Don't let me speak too quickly on that, but that's all we have for today. So until next time, peace.